You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Seattle is a city where, earlier this year, a single parking space sold for $50,000. It's also a place where many people live in their cars. The King County Regional Homeless Authority estimates that roughly a third of folks experiencing homelessness here reside in a car or an RV. And while vehicles can help provide shelter and mobility, consider the barriers. Reliable and safe parking can be hard to find, and parking fines add up. To help, Seattle has experimented before with something called safe parking lots, which are designated parking areas for those living in their vehicles. These sites provide essential services like food and showers, as well as other outreach programs. The region's previous programs were short-lived. In 2016, there was a test lot in Ballard, as well as a 2018 lot in Soto, where three people died. This month, the King County Regional Homelessness Authority and Seattle City Council announced that they were awarding the Low Income Housing Institute with $1.9 million to develop a new RV safe lot program in Seattle. Also known as LIHI, the Institute provides a variety of homelessness services, including the 17 tiny villages in the region. To hear more about their hopes for this iteration of safe lots, I've got Josh Castle on the line. Josh is director of Advocacy and Community Engagement at the Low Income Housing Institute. Welcome.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
The city has awarded Low Income Housing Institute the contract for a new safe parking RV lot. Where is it going to be? What's the capacity going to be like? What are the basics here?
So we are still searching for a location. We're still going through that process. We hope to have that wrapped up in around a month. And we are expecting to serve about 35 RVs at a time, folks living in RVs. And then, you know, over the length of the program, we hope that'll be many more. It'd be ideal to have it paved, and we need at least an acre, so that would be helpful, just to have the size of the space to fit that many RVs. We want to have easy access to transit so folks can get around, good transportation access.
And is there an opening date yet? Do we know when this site is going to be up and running?
Well, we still need to, we need to find the location, and then our development folks go and do all the work to set it up. That can take a little while. That can sometimes take a couple of months, many weeks, several weeks, a couple of months, and then we'll be able to open. So the idea is to try to open before winter strikes.
You know, the estimates range of the number of folks who live in their vehicles in the Seattle area, but the number 2,700 came out of the last count, the last data that we have available. With 2,700 people, give or take, who live in vehicles in Seattle, how will you decide who will be able to stay in your safe parking facility?
So through the program, there's going to be two outreach workers that are doing that outreach to folks living in their RVs around the city. And they're going to identify good candidates. They have their way of doing it. That one of it is making sure that it's somebody who can live within a set of rules, can live within a community or stay within a community, that is. And they're interested in getting into permanent housing eventually, working with we're going to have case management on site. So they need to work with our case manager. So they just need to make sure they're a good fit for the program. We know that the need is great. There's thousands of people living in their vehicles and living in their RVs across the city. And this is initially going to take care of a fraction of that. But we think this is a pilot program. So the idea is to roll this out, get it established, learn from it, refine the program, and then scale it up to meet the need and hopefully open more of these safe RV sites. But in the meantime, this site would serve, you know, it'd be a 35, but we hope to serve another 35 after that, another 35 after that. We want to move people in and out, you know, work with them to visualize what it's like to not have to live in a vehicle or in their RV and to be in permanent housing instead, and to work with our case management on that.
What kind of services and regulations are going to be going on site when you do open these lots in the winter?
Well, there's going to be case managers on site, and we're also going to have a behavioral health specialist through Therapeutic Health Services who are going to provide that level of support. And the idea is to help people with obtaining You know, our case managers will help people with obtaining housing, employment, healthcare, applying for, you know, Social Security, any government benefits. I'm getting their IDs and documentation together so they can get ready for housing. The behavioral health specialist will be helping any folks who might be dealing with a substance use disorder, potentially mental health or mental illness challenge. That's the idea of having this deep staff support to support the residents. And of course, there will be 24/7 staff that'll provide the operations and the security around the clock.
Your organization, Low Income Housing Institute, oversaw a safe lot in Ballard in 2016, which was open for about 6 months. What kind of lessons came out of the Ballard location, and how will you apply them with this new location?
You know, I think this location, well, first of all, that program was way too short to be successful. And it really didn't serve enough RVs. This is going to come with a lot more of a robust program, a lot more a fuller level of case management and operational staff. And we think that this, you know, we learned some lessons from that, and we think this is going to be a more successful program with that robust staff in place, and the fact that it's a longer term program, and we have more time to learn and grow the program.
So you think that the length of time that the program ran was too short, and that didn't allow what?
Well, it takes time to, you know, work with clients and get to know them and help with navigating any various challenges or obstacles that they're facing and getting into housing. That's the work of our very talented case managers that undergo developing those relationships and establishing that rapport. And it wasn't enough time to help folks who, in many cases, they're in their RV. It's their most valuable asset. And you know, I think with time, having a program that is much longer than that, we're gonna be able to have those relationships established, and more people are gonna see the benefits of being able to move out of their RVs and move into permanent housing. So we think it's gonna be a lot more successful.
What type of outreach will you be doing between now and when the facility opens in order for folks to not have the reaction that they often do when homeless services are going to be located near them in, you know, in their neighborhoods? They, you know, push back, worry about safety or sanitation concerns. What type of outreach are you going to be engaged in to try to circumvent that and build community support for a safe parking program?
Yeah, well, as the community engagement director of the organization, I'm very familiar with this. We experience that, you know, whenever we're going to open a tiny house village in a community or an enhanced shelter or even permanent housing, this is, you know, we expect that there's going to be all range of, you know, responses and reactions from the community, everywhere from, you know, people who are curious to people who are concerned, and they want to have that discussion. They want to know what the rules are. They want to know how we work with the neighborhood and the community on any sort of concerns or safety issues that come up, and then there's people who are automatically supportive, and they want to, you know, they're asking, how can we help out the residents, how can we give it, you know, how can we donate, how can we volunteer. So I'll just say for the, you know, for this site, and we do this for other programs as well, we're going to be undergoing a very robust community engagement process. So we will have a community meeting. So whenever the site is we locate a site, which will be still a little while from now. We're gonna, you know, notify all the neighbors and all the businesses and any other groups or organizations in the area. Organize a community meeting and bring everybody together. You know, they'll be notified, you know, weeks before the meeting with a canvassing. We're gonna flyer the whole neighborhood and the whole community, and then we're gonna have the community meeting, and we're gonna get together to talk about it, and then have a way for the community to continue to be, you know, in touch with the staff, in touch with the program going forward. So we want to have the community's input and feedback on this, and we want to be there to hear out any concerns and to address those.
I know the Regional Homelessness Authority in King County is looking for an additional $5 million for this program to expand beyond 6 months and, you know, grow into multiple locations. What do you think are the markers of success for the first site and the ways that this will be seen as a proven strategy to provide services to folks. What are you looking for as markers of success?
Yeah, well, okay, there's a couple goals we have. So I'd say the first goal is to help vulnerable people move out of their RVs and get them the case management that they need to transition into permanent housing as quickly as possible. The second goal is to remove unsafe RVs permanently from the roads. And then I'd say the third goal is to learn from this, refine the program so we can scale it up and help many more people that are living in RVs to encourage them to move out of their RVs and into permanent housing.
Josh Castle, Director of Advocacy and Community Engagement for Low Income Housing Institute, thanks very much for stopping by and explaining what's going on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And we're going to swing down to Pierce County, where we spoke with someone helping to operate the first of these pilot safe lots in just a moment. We are going to talk to Samara Jenkins, the pastor of Spanaway United Methodist Church. And the church there began operating a safe lot in October of last year.
We have three lots out in the back that haven't been utilized for a long time and said, well, that's just kind of a natural fit. So we were very easily able to fit into the requirements, which was, you know, porta potty and the washing station.
So far, the church has hosted 31 people. Jenkins said 29 of those folks have found permanent housing. And it's a very specific clientele there in Pierce County. The church only accepts families from within the local school district, single women, and military veterans. On average, folks stay a couple of months at a time.
One of our folks has been here for, I think she's been with us almost since the inception of the program. So she's been here. She's a widow and just is okay being here. And so she's been with us 4 or 5 months. But traditionally, because of the unique clientele, the guests that we serve, we try to move our children into housing as quickly as possible. So the families that were with us that are our greatest success were with us a few months.
Jenkins said there was pushback from some parts of the Spanaway community when the church first volunteered to join the Safe Lot program.
Initially, when there was some talk about it, there was a couple of neighbors that were concerned that the conversation was that we're going to start a homeless encampment on our property. Mm. And so when we understood that to be kind of where we were headed, we started to put out media and have conversations. But the community where we sit in Spanaway is any one of our families within probably a 3 or 5 mile radius would, should they miss a paycheck or get evicted, would be part of our program. So there was a little bit, it was just really changing the narrative in the face of homelessness.
According to Jenkins, starting out with the goal to serve a specific targeted population helped build public trust. And since Pierce County's program relies on community members to volunteer their parking lots, that trust is crucial.
The program can be maintained in such a way where you can determine how many folks you can effectively serve on your property. And you can set up your guidelines. And I mean, background checks are mandatory. These folks are background checked. And so, I mean, there's so much good that can come from offering this safe place.
Again, a big difference with Pierce County's program is that it's all volunteer, largely volunteer led, I should say. It's also focused primarily on cars rather than RVs compared to the Seattle program. To learn more, I've got Pierce County Councilmember Ryan Mello on the line. Councilmember Mello is the co-sponsor of the bill establishing the Safe Lot program in Pierce County. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
What will the pilot program in Pierce County look like? For example, what kind of services will these sites have?
Right. Well, we anticipate partners actually volunteering to offer safe parking, like a church parking lot. Maybe it's a family support center or a school or a senior center. We imagine these kinds of places offering 2 to half a dozen or so spots of parking. They're also asked to make sure they have a place, whether it be a porta potty or an indoor restroom for use, a place for garbage and recycling, a place for folks to wash their hands. really basic things like that in order to host safe parking so that it's truly a place that's both safe for the residents, taking advantage of the overnight parking, and also a place that limits impacts to neighborhoods, right? So garbage doesn't pile up, as an example.
What about the rules on the sites that are in the pilot program? Will they be open 24/7? Are there certain hours? Are there codes of conduct that people have to observe?
Yeah, you know, we envision hosts to put rules in place that work for them. We do ask that they put together a code of conduct, again, so that there's safety between any of the residents and the neighbors. Whether it's 24/7 or just, you know, overnight when the parking lot's not being used, that's up to the host. But most safe parking places, it are for overnight use. A lot of the folks using safe parking are using it for just a couple of days. Maybe they're leaving a urgent domestic violence situation and the domestic violence shelter is full, but they still need a safe place to park for a few days before the shelter opens, or they get a motel voucher. These are really designed to be places for folks to have a respite for a couple 3 days, or at most a couple of weeks, is the very typical situation for someone utilizing safe parking. This is one of many different mitigation strategies in the homelessness response system. It's by no means the best strategy or the only strategy. We're deploying lots of different tools to make homelessness brief and infrequent, and really to get folks into rapid rehousing and stabilized for a longer term.
Do you have organizations that have already stepped up to become part of this pilot program? Do you have places that these lots will be operating soon?
We do. We're really fortunate. There are a few faith communities that have raised their hand to volunteer in unincorporated Pierce County, in Spanaway, in South Hill, and our Pierce County Coalition to End Homelessness is actively engaging other potential faith communities, other nonprofit partners that are not necessarily a faith community, but, you know, say fire stations that have large parking lots in rural areas, or school districts with large parking lots where they're not being used at night. So our Coalition to End Homelessness is actively reaching out to even more partners, in addition to the handful of volunteers we have already offering safe parking right now.
I know local churches are a huge part of the homelessness safety net in communities around the Puget Sound. Do you also envision this as taking place in public lots, like at city or county facilities, libraries, community centers, things like that?
We do, and that's really been the focus of our conversations here in Pierce County, is how do we continue to open it up to more spaces. Like you said, many in our faith community are very generous with their space and their treasure and their time. But, you know, in some places, there's not a church offering this kind of service. Or maybe someone doesn't feel comfortable going to a faith community. And we believe we need secular sites that are not tied to a religious institution for folks to get services. So we do envision looking at other public facilities that are available that have parking lots that are not being used overnight. So these are places like libraries, family support centers, senior centers, community centers, maybe even schools. Where do we have other public facilities where we have parking lots that go empty? And again, these aren't places with dozens of cars. These aren't places where people are going to be living for weeks or months on end. These are places where, again, folks look to get a safe place to go for a couple few days before they're able to be placed into some other more appropriate temporary housing option.
How about RVs? Because there's plenty of people who live in RVs and are in the unhoused population. Is there a reason that RVs are excluded from the program?
Yeah, you know, we're trying to learn from best practices from other communities across the country about RVs and still trying to figure out what is best for our community. So we don't have an answer yet. Right now, we're seeing RVs can be RVs are allowed. You have to go through some extra permitting process with Pierce County in order to facilitate the use of RVs. You know, just to really make sure that there's not significant impact to neighbors, and that everyone there is safe and feels welcomed, and that it just really remains a safe place for everybody involved, the residents, the hosts, the neighbors, residents.
So this program is going to be revisited in 6 months. But what I'm hearing you say is four sites, that's not nearly enough. You are, and your allies on the county council are saying there needs to be many more of these sites spread across the county. Do you expect that to be something that is feasible in the future?
I do. I also heard from the county executive that he wanted more public engagement before we cited more safe parking throughout the community. And so this additional 6 months gives us the opportunity to work with the community about exactly what that means. But yet, in order to not burden just one or two communities, that means in order to offer the number of safe parking stalls, it means we need to increase the number. And increasing the number means increasing the area this is allowed at, and increasing the different kinds of hosts who can volunteer to host safe parking to be in addition to our faith community.
What are the markers for success or failure in this pilot program as you look at crafting more of a longer term policy?
Yeah, I think the markers for success are going to be the number of hosts that we have signed up to volunteer to host safe parking, how many stalls that are available at any given night throughout Pierce County. Are we meeting the demand? Are people utilizing that option? And how is the harmony between the neighboring community and the hosts? We really envision them being low impact. So the garbage being picked up, there not being a lot of noise, just normal quality of life impacts being really, really limited. So people can coexist in harmony. Those are the markers of success. And, you know, what I really want to stress is, again, today, right, on any given night, about 3,500 folks, and we think the number's low, on any given night, there's 3,500 folks in Pierce County experiencing homelessness. Our data tells us about a third of them have a car. So people today they're homeless, they have a car, they're not going away. They need to be served. And instead of just being in random parts of neighborhoods without places to use the bathroom, be stable, get the hygiene and that they need to be able to get their kids to school, et cetera. You know, right now, unsafe parking has been the policy of Pierce County. We're trying to make it safe.
And as you say, there are hundreds upon hundreds of people living in their cars in Pierce County on a given night. And right now they're dispersed mostly throughout the county in unsafe conditions and places where there are not reliable bathrooms and rules in place and contacts with the county. You know, I think about Seattle's history with safe parking. The city has twice attempted to create government approved supervised safe lots. Ultimately, it was difficult for the city of Seattle to keep close supervision on what was going on, maintain safety, you know, provide services like sanitation. There are also tricky rules around property rights with vehicles. How have you calibrated your approach in Pierce County to try to find a stable, successful way to allow safe parking to be something that can be expanded?
We think one of the important notes of success here are to have lower impact sites. So you see a really streamlined way if you're going to host seven or fewer vehicles as a host. you have to go through a bunch more rigmarole if you're going to have eight or more, and if you're going to have RVs. So that's one provision in how we're doing it differently than, say, Seattle. We really believe, and I think we've learned from other communities, that the fewer number of vehicles parked is really low impact, and that's on purpose. But low impact to the host, low impact to the surrounding neighborhood.
Ryan Mello is a Pierce County Council member who represents downtown Tacoma, Hilltop, Central and South Tacoma, and the cities of Faircrest and University Place. Thank you very much for stopping by to talk about this.
Thanks for having me.